celebrate this powerful symbol of the Lord's death and resurrection and life for all believers. Would you stand together as we sing our call to worship? Blessed be the name. Number 206 in your hymnals. We'll sing the first verse. Greeting this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, we welcome all you saints and sinners and everyone in between to the house of the Lord. We are here to worship and glorify Christ today. If you're a visitor with us, we especially want to extend a warm welcome to you and invite you to fill out a visitor card if you'd like to do so and place that in the offering plate today. One thing we want to say a little bit more about later in the service, but to remind you, we do have our meal in the fellowship hall immediately following. This is one of the fundraisers for the youth group. There'll be a patriotic dessert auction, and that's always anything with the word dessert is going to be fun. And I've already seen some of them. I haven't sampled any, but seen a few of those desserts. We really want to encourage you, whether you made plans to do so or not, to stick around for that. Let's fellowship together and support our youth who are preparing and planning for this incredible life-changing mission opportunity in Steubenville, Ohio. And along those same lines, we want to let you know that the prayer partner packets are now out in the foyer. You probably saw those boards as you were walking in. You'll notice one of them has several hearts posted on it. The way this works, if you're new to it, like me, is you take off one of the hearts that has a name of one of our youth or adult leaders who are going on the trip, and then you take that heart and find the corresponding packet in the basket below, and it's an opportunity for you to pray for that person, to write them a prayer for each day while they're there. We ask that you do write their name down on the little list that's there as well, and then get those packets full of those daily prayers back here by the 12th of July. It's a wonderful way to be present with the youth, even if you're not present with them, to support them and let them know that we believe in what God is doing through them in this incredible opportunity for missions. And we pray that they would learn a lot and bring that back here to Elon so that we can continue that missional energy here in our own community. As we worship today, this is the table of the Lord. It's not the table of First Baptist. It's not my table. And so it's not we who extend the invitation to you to the table today, but it is Christ who invites you to come and remember his body was given, his blood was shed for you.
Our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 116, verses 12 through 19. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant. The child of your serving girl, you have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father God, your servants have gathered in your house this day to worship, to celebrate, and to lift up an offering that is pleasing to you. So as we come to you this day in this prayer, in the time of singing, in the reading of your word, in the sermon, Father, and as we partake in communion in just a little bit, may it be a pleasing act to you. Father God, we are thankful that we can gather in your house this beautiful day and to praise and glorify who you are. We praise and glorify your creation. We praise and glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, coming to this earth to live a life of love and to service, but also sacrifice. And we praise that the Spirit is with us this day, within each one of us and within this house, to worship and celebrate you. Father God, we lift this prayer to you in your Son's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and sing our hymn of praise, Serve the Lord with Gladness. It's number 495 in your hymn book, and the words are also on the screen. Please stand. ministry highlight for this Sunday is Vacation Bible School. And it begins Sunday, July 12th, and it goes through Thursday, July 16th. In the last couple of weeks, it has become even more exciting as we've been preparing for what is one of the largest outreach opportunities for children and families. We need the support of the entire church during this week. We still have about 3 stations that need to be filled in the marketplace. So if you think you might be interested, please let me know as soon as possible. And for all of you that have signed up or you know your VBS station, I have information booklets for each of you, so just see me after the service. One of the most important things that we can do to make sure we reach kids in our community is to personally invite them. So today, at the end of our service, several of our children will be outside at the doors, and they'll be passing out cards like this. Please take one or more, and prayerfully consider who you will invite to our Hometown Nazareth VBS. Also, if you're on Facebook, help us by sharing our VBS event. When each individual person shares it, we can reach an even larger audience. And pray for our children, the workers, and for the new children that will come, and possibly be in our church for the very first time. Are there any more announcements? Oh, and if you have a tent, what is it called? Like a canopy tent? Yes, we would love to borrow that for the VBS week, so please let me know if you have a tent. Well, let's stand for our offertory hymn, number 390 in your hymn book. We are called to be God's people.
Come to you with many thanksgivings for the blessings that you have given us. We ask so many things in your name, but we ask you today to bless us as we do your work and as we go out to share your word. Take these gifts and offerings we bring you that we may multiply your kingdom. and do these things in your name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Deep, your grace is more, where grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
So teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you.
At this time, I want to ask...
Jason and Kim Smith and Alec and Sandy French, if you would come forward and stand up here on the stage with us. Many of you may have heard of the opportunity that these four individuals have coming up the next couple weeks. If you have not, Mason's going to share some of the details, this wonderful opportunity, and as they serve as missionaries across the sea. Mason, I'll turn it over to you. Sandy, you will come up here.
Shortly after the Second World War, two brothers, twins, Henry and Jake Stout, felt a concern for those servicemen that were there in Germany, stationed in various military installations, that they didn't have a proper church. They were chaplains, but there wasn't the same thing, the same experience that many of them needed spiritually. And their concern for the spiritual welfare of those soldiers led them to start a church in Wiesbaden, Germany, where I was pastoring before coming here. Shortly after, Henry went up a little further north to Frankfurt and started the second church, Bethel Baptist Church in Frankfurt. And that began to grow and expand until before long, just about everywhere there was a United States military base throughout Germany, there was a Baptist church planted there. And they began to work together and partner, as Baptists like to do, and form the European Baptist Convention, the EBU. And that vision and that dream slowly began to grow and expand, and to expand into to Italy, to Switzerland, to France, to Great Britain, to all corners. And indeed, that vision grew to the point where they said, why not also serve other English-speaking people in these places? And so they changed their identity to the International Baptist Convention, with the mission to serve the English-speaking communities throughout the world. There are IBC churches in South America, in Africa, Asia, the Middle East. There's even one in Texas, by the way, which I guess is a foreign country, if you will. And so they began to focus on using English as that common connector. Even though many of the people in the IBC are not English speakers, they might be from Ghana, they might be from Malaysia, but they feel maybe more comfortable with English than they do with the national language of whatever country they happen to be in. And the thing that brings all of these diverse churches throughout the world together is the annual summer assembly in Interlaken, Switzerland. For over 55 years, the International Baptist Convention has been coming to the same town, to the same school, to the same hotel, and have been holding a summer assembly for all ages, for families, for the people of the IBC. The youth go up the mountain to Grindelwald and have a youth camp. The adults have seminars that they can take on just about any topic you could imagine. They have worship experiences. And then for the children, they offer vacation Bible school, a 2-hour or 3-hour in the mornings and 2 hours in the evening, every day vacation Bible school. It goes right along in tandem with all of the adult activities. And this year, the partnership that the IBC had, because the IBC is so small and it's such a poor convention, really, they have such a limited amount of resources, they've always relied on partners from the U.S. to come over and lead their vacation Bible school. They had a long-term partnership with Virginia Baptist, then Alabama Baptist. But this year, for whatever reason, the partnership just didn't quite work out. And so I got an email at the 11th hour saying, can you round up some foolish people who would be willing at the last minute to go with you to help put together this vacation Bible school? And of course, we prayed about it and said yes. That's how it always seems to work. You pray, and then God's going to tell you what to do, and it usually ends with a yes, Lord. And so we are excited to go to be a part of this. This is the last summer they'll be in Interlaken, possibly the last summer assembly they'll ever do. So it's a very significant opportunity to provide this vacation Bible school for the children. The children will be the children of military families. It'll be the children of missionaries and pastors within the IBC. It'll also be just the children of the people of the IBC. Many of the children will be German-speaking, English-speaking folks. One child only speaks Italian. So it'll be quite a mix of kids. But for these children, Their churches, there's no way they could put on a vacation Bible school. And for the most part, chances are these children have only been discipled to and ministered to by their mom and dad. Their churches don't have children's ministries, don't have children's ministers, don't have youth ministers. So it is an incredibly strange mission opportunity to be working with these kids in Interlaken, Switzerland, just to share with them the love of Christ. And I'm so thankful for Alec and Sandy and Kim to be willing to go on this adventure. And for Alec and Sandy, it's their first overseas trip, isn't it? Which is amazing, their willingness to go. And I'm thankful for this congregation, for the support and encouragement you've been giving us all along. When we moved back to the States, we didn't have any plan whatsoever to be taking a trip back to Europe. But when God calls, you have to answer. So thank you for your support and prayers.
I'm going to change up the commissioning a little bit, if that's okay. We're on the fly. I'm going to ask if y'all would stand on the floor, please. We're told in Scripture, we're told from the very earliest churches, that the churches set aside missionaries like Paul and Silas and Barnabas, and they lifted them up, they called them out, they placed hands upon them, and they sent them out as missionaries. What you see in front of you today are four missionaries representing Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and representing First Baptist Church of Elon. Just as this congregation a couple weeks ago commissioned our youth group for a mission trip, this is a missions team, and as they go, they need to be in our prayers. So I'm going to ask if the deacons that are here representing today, if you would come forward and circle around our four missionaries this morning. Scripture tells us they laid hands upon the missionaries, they lifted them up in prayer, but it's not just our deacons, it's our entire congregation. So as a congregation, if you support these four missionaries in sending them out to Europe, please stand at this time. As a congregation, we are called to lift them up in prayer. And we will do so not just this day, but every day that they are traveling and that they are gone. They'll be leaving on Wednesday and be gone for 2.5 weeks. So we have a lot of prayer to do. If you would, join hands with those standing around you this morning. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Deacons, I would ask if you lay hands upon our missionaries this morning in a time of prayer. I'm going to leave the beginning part of our prayer time in silence, and I ask that you personally, individually, lift these four individuals up, our four missionaries, Kim, Mason, Alec, and Sandy. Lift them up by name individually, and then I'll close this in a word of prayer in just a moment. Let us pray. Father, you ask the question, who will go for me? Mason Smith, Kim Smith, Alec French, Sandy French have stepped up and said, we will go. Father God, we lift up this missions team that you have called out from our congregation as they represent your servant. They represent your son, Jesus Christ, and they represent First Baptist Church of Elon. We lift them up in prayer this day. We commission them. We send them out knowing that you will surround them with your love and your protection. And we lift them up in the opportunity that it is to touch these young children's lives. Father God, what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that it will be. We lift them up as they serve you. We lift them up in travel for safety. We lift them up as they settle in, as they deal with all the flexibility and the circumstances that will arise in this missions opportunity. We place that in your hands, and we know that you have called four able servants to minister. Father God, as a congregation, we will lift these four missionaries up every single day that they are gone. We pray for their service. We pray for their safety.
but also we pray for their opportunity to come home and share the wonderful experiences that each one of them has. Father God, may they know as they go that they have a church congregation lifting them up in prayer. We lift them up to you this day, your missionaries, our missionaries. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
or feel somewhat far removed from what we read about in Scripture on the night that Jesus was betrayed. Just a pinch of bread and a little shot glass of Welch's. But these simple things contain an incredibly powerful message. A message of Christ's body
given for us. A message of Christ's blood shed for us. For as we read in our Scripture, Paul was very keen to pass on the meaning of this meal to the church and to the Corinthians. He says, chapter 11, verse 23.
He says, "For what I received from the Lord, what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" It is a symbol of the body and blood of Christ. When I was a missionary in Charleston, South Carolina, I and several others had the opportunity to work in the migrant camps out on John's Island. Great, vast cucumber plantations. And in the evenings when the workers were coming in, we were working with their children and building up relationships. In the final week of the summer, we decided to hold a worship service and to have communion there in the camps. And so, we being sort of the artsy types, we decided to get all these artisanal breads and set up a beautiful table with different types of grapes on the table and several big cups with the juice in it. And we had everything set up, and we were going back and forth to the van and getting the supplies and putting them out. And then we began to go to the different rooms there. It's set up almost like a motel, but with barbed wire around it. And we began going to the doors to let the people know we were going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we gathered everyone, and by the time we got back to the table, let me just paint this picture of what we found. There were about 25 little brown-skinned migrant children huddled around this table, and they had eaten every piece of bread, eaten every single grape, drank all the juice, and were just sort of... You see, they were hungry, and here's food. You know, it's hard to be mad at that. In fact, there's something that preaches about that. To be hungry for Christ. And here is bread, the bread of life. Here is the cup of the new covenant. To be hungry for this body. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper today, the question perhaps we might wrestle with is, are we hungry for Christ? Do we seek to have him and consume him and be such a part of our being that he fills us up and we have but to just rub our souls and say, "Now I'm satisfied." But as I always tell people, be careful what you wish for. Because the next question will be, what does it mean if we say we are hungry for Christ? What are we really hungry for? This is a complex symbol. It tells so many stories and has so many meanings. At the very heart, yes, it's the body and blood. But think about all else that is wrapped up into this. And over the last year, we have played with some of those meanings. About being connected with each other. Communion. Connected with the Father and all saints everywhere. We've talked about how it reminds us to have a spiritual hunger to be righteous. To live up to what we have been named by God as people who are the righteousness of God. But today, I think, for me, as I think about this meal, to be hungry for Christ is to be hungry to be like Christ. And who is Christ but not a servant? In fact, he is often called the suffering servant. That's taken from that prophecy of Isaiah Christians have laid upon Christ and said, look, he's the one who would suffer and serve the world. And on that very night that Christ was betrayed, even with his betrayer in his presence, what did he do? But he washed their feet. Now, I ain't washed your feet. But he showed us that he was a servant. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? To serve. So as we take in this meal, we are challenged to serve as the servant serve, to give our lives to others, to pour ourselves out like a drink offering for our community, for our neighbors, for our brothers and sisters here in this room, for even those who are not like us, even those who would betray us, even those who would care less what we think or what we have to say or offer. But for all people everywhere to serve them. And this is not just opening doors for a stranger, although perhaps that's where it starts. But it goes deeper than that, to where we begin to have this mindset of a servant, to ask ourselves, in every situation, how can I meet this person's need? If you're in line at the grocery store and you have a particularly grumpy cashier, rather than being grumpy back, the servant in us should say, what's going on in this person's life right now? How can I serve them and bring them a little bit of love and grace? If we see someone loading their groceries and it's clear they're having a hard time, how can we serve them in that situation with a random act of kindness? If we see someone here in the church, in the hallway, and have you ever had those moments where you can just look at someone's face and you know there's something not right, there's something troubling them, and so many times I'm tempted to just walk on by, but the servant would challenge us to see that person and connect with them in that moment and say, what's going on? How are you? How can I help you? Rake your neighbor's leaves, hugging necks that are begging for hugs, just saying a gentle and encouraging word to someone who's having a troubling day. In all of these things, we are modeling the one who gave us this meal and said that if we are to be his disciples, we are to take up our cross and follow him. As you partake in this bread and this cup this morning, would you use this time as also a moment to pray, to ask God to show you and to open your eyes to see the places where you can be and serve this very week. Maybe here now today, maybe sometime later this week, but to begin praying for God to show you the right time and the right way to be a servant. To be a servant as he was a servant. Would you pray with me? Lord, as the scripture said, you took the bread and you broke it and you said, this is your body, given for us. You said, take and eat. You said, do it in remembrance of you. And then on that night, you took that cup. You raised it and blessed it and said that it was a cup, the cup of the new covenant in your own blood. You told us that as often as we drink of it, to do so in remembrance of you. Well, here we are, Lord, gathered around your table once more. Would you, by these powerful symbols, awaken in us hearts of service? Servant hearts ready and eager to meet the needs of others. For we eat this bread and we seek to give our lives to others. We drink this cup and we seek to pour ourselves out for others. Teach us how and show us when. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our deacons would come. Thank you. serve the one beside you by offering them the plate and allowing them to take the bread from it. And then when we are all served, we shall say, take and eat. And together as one body, sharing the one loaf of Christ.
Thank you.
suffering servant. Teach us today and every day how to give our